You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Last week we started our series on life. It's called This Is Life. Life stands for living in freedom every day. Doesn't that sound like a great proposition? Don't you want to live in freedom? I hate being bound up. I hate having chains on my heart. I hate feeling like I'm attached to other things. Man, I want to be free. I want to just be able to live my life and be as effective as I can be in my life and not have to worry about things dragging me down or making me worse than I'm supposed to be or less effective than I'm supposed to be. Last week, Pastor Gabriel preached out of the book of Genesis where we talk about the two trees in the Garden of Eden. And there's the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is all about what we can do to be better. Well, it's not about what you do. It's about who Jesus is. And that's what the tree of life was all about. The tree of life, living through the tree of life, means you try to see every situation in a life-giving viewpoint. When your kids get on your nerves, you just try to discipline them by saying, man, you're an idiot right now. But I'm disciplining you so that you can be better. I know, Miss Sarah's like, no, you don't say that. I say that. I'm a bad dad sometimes. I have to apologize to my kid. I had to apologize to my kid like four times this morning because he annoyed me. They're 12, right? I mean, does anybody know what I'm talking about? 12-year-olds? Did anybody else have a 12-year-old that got on your nerves? Thank you. Golly. I mean, I'm going to tell them what you did, too. I'm going to tell them what you did. I get up, and I'm getting ready, which my boy is awesome. Stand up, Zach. All I said was stand up. I didn't say stand up and be like, oh, this is what I'm talking about. So he's amazing. He comes up here every Sunday morning. Krista said he's me, and that's true. He comes up every Sunday morning with me at 6:30 in the morning and sets up the entire children's area by himself. No doubt. Really does. Like, that is not an exaggeration. Now, sometimes he has a little bit of help here and there, but for all his purposes, he does. But this morning, I got him up, right? And then I had to go, like, shave and brush my teeth and all that stuff. And I walk in there, and I'm like, all right, buddy, we're leaving at 6:20. I walk in the living room at 6:15, and my boy is getting Cocoa Pebbles out, about to pour. I said, what are you doing? I'm still hungry. I said, I don't care. I got to go. And he's like, I just want some Cocoa Pebbles, man. And he gets so mad at me. And then I get mad at him. And we just feed off of each other. And by the end of it, I'm like, ah, teenager. So then I apologized and I felt bad and I had to forgive him. Which brings me to my point. Today we're going to be talking about forgiveness. There was this guy, or this lady. She was an older lady. She had a parrot, right? And this parrot, she had taught it to speak, and she kept trying to get it to say things, you know, like Polly want a cracker and all the normal parody things that we make parrots say. Evidently, I've never had a bird, but my wife, when she was going, she had a bird named Pepper, and it would whistle the Andy Griffith theme song, which was kind of funny. But anyway, so this lady, she had this bird, right, and she wanted it to say all this cool stuff, but all it would ever do is cut her down, like, well, you're an idiot, and you're ugly, and your hair looks like trash, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And the lady kept getting so mad at this stupid bird, and finally she said, look, bird, if you don't start saying nicer things to me, you're going to regret it. I will not put up with a bird who doesn't respect me. She gets mad at the bird, and she walks out, and she comes back in, and the bird starts up again. Rah, you're an idiot! You know, all this kind of stuff. And she grabs the bird. She said, that's it! She grabs the parrot, opens the freezer, and throws the parrot in and closes the door. And the parrot's just going crazy. Rah, rah, rah. About 2 or 3 minutes later, the parrot stops. And she starts feeling bad. She's like, oh, man, I done killed this bird. She walks over there. She opens the freezer, and the parrot's just sitting there like... And she takes the parrot out, and the parrot says, I'm so sorry for calling you names, telling you you're an idiot, and telling you your hair is ugly. I will never do it again. Can you find it in your heart to forgive me? And she's like, yes, but don't ever do it again. And the bird says, okay, can I ask one question? She says, yes. What did the chicken do?
Okay.
okay. So there you go. So she had to choose to forgive the bird, right? Thank you for all of those horrible. That's my corny joke of the day. Oh man, that was bad. Okay, so anyway, so that's my corny joke of the day. So the bird needed forgiveness. She had to forgive the bird. How many of you know, you remember back, like, I remember when I was a kid, and you go, like, play with your friends and stuff, and we always had, we had this little field that we play, and it was, and we would play baseball in this little field, and man, we would get so mad at each other. This is when we were little kids, right? And the phrase that always came out, and I don't really hear it anymore, but the phrase that always got said was, yeah, well, sticks and stones can break my bones, but your words are never going to hurt me, right? You ever heard that before? Okay, how false is that? How false is that? You know, words can cut deeper than anything else. The problem with words is that you just don't see the scars. You can hit me with a baseball bat and it's going to hurt really bad and I'm going to be mad at you. Really, really mad at you. But you can say something really, really mean and really, really spiteful and it can hurt me just as bad. And you too. We're all like that. We're all human. We have an innate desire to be loved, to be accepted, to be needed, to be wanted. And when somebody says something about us or does something to us that makes us feel less than accepted or less than important or less than needed, it hurts. And sometimes it's hard to go away, to get away from those things. At some point in your life, if you haven't already, you need to get up here and preach this instead of me. But at some point in your life, you're going to be faced with a decision whether to forgive or not. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? It's one of the... before we do this, can I say one thing? YouVersion is back up and running for our stuff. So if you've got a YouVersion on your phone, all you got to do is open YouVersion up on your cell phone, click the little tab at the top. That's the Bible app, by the way, if you don't know what YouVersion is. The Bible app on your smartphone. Click the top tab. Click Live Events when it pulls up. And then click search for a live event. And then it'll be like the third or fourth one down that says, this is life part two, forgiveness. And then you can just follow along with everything I'm going to talk about today right on your YouVersion mobile app. Because it's amazing like that. Anyway, so there you go. So let me get into this. We're going to have to make a decision someday, one day to forgive or not to forgive. But it is one of the simplest commandments that God has ever given us. But yet one of the most difficult things to do. Just to forgive. To forgive. Why is forgiveness so hard? I think it comes down to just a few things. Number one is this. It's so hard because we have a wrong idea of what forgiveness actually means. For us to understand what forgiveness is, we need to understand what it's not, first off. First off, forgiveness is absolutely, unequivocally not minimizing the offense. Just because you give forgiveness for something, for someone doing something to you, does not mean that it's less important, that it wasn't as big of an offense. It doesn't mean that you're going, oh, it was no big deal. It doesn't mean that at all. Just because you forgive doesn't mean that it's not a big deal. See, when you forgive, it's choosing to let go of the offense, even when it's a big one. Well, another thing forgiveness is not, is it's not reconciliation. Necessarily. My kids, when they were young, Zach and Ethan, this might have been before Karis was even born. Ethan was like 2, maybe, I think. And all of a sudden they were playing in the other room. All of a sudden you hear Zach like scream, like, "Wah!" And he comes running in there holding his face. And he's like, "Ethan punched me in the face!" And Ethan's like this big, right? I mean, and so Ethan comes running in behind him, and he goes, "Uh-uh! His face hit my hand!" And that is no lie. This kid's like 2, telling me that his face hit his hand. You know, he had a choice. He had to reconcile with his brother or not reconcile with his brother. At the end of the day, forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness is simply that. It's forgiveness. And God understands that forgiveness is not, I mean, that reconciliation is not possible in every situation. Look at Romans 12:18. It should be on the screen here. Romans 12:18 says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. What's the key word in that? If it's possible. That leads you to the understanding that it's not always possible. Sometimes people hurt you and they don't acknowledge they hurt you. Sometimes people hurt you and they just go, well, I just said what I think. Well, you know what? Everybody doesn't need to know what you think all the time. God put a filter in your brain for a reason. Some things you need to keep to yourself. Third thing that it's not forgetting what happened. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness allows you, allows God to do a miracle in your life, and that miracle is that He allows you to remember the offense without reliving the pain that's associated with it. Have you ever experienced that? You go through a really traumatic time, and then when you finally have that moment where you say, God, I forgive what happened. I forgive what this person did to me. And then after that, after a little bit of time, you start getting to the point that you can talk about what happened and it doesn't really kill you anymore like it used to. Isn't that a miracle? For people that have dealt with things like abuse and things like that, that they can say, you know, I forgive that person for doing that to me. And then they can talk about it. And they can help other people go through the same thing. But it doesn't kill them anymore. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. So the first thing that the problems we had, the reasons that we have problems with forgiving is that we have a wrong idea of what it is. Second thing is that we don't think it's fair, right? Forgiveness is not fair. They shouldn't be forgiven for what they did to me. Well, let me tell you something. I'm really glad God's not fair because you don't deserve to be forgiven for what you did. We don't forgive because it's the fair thing to do. Fair doesn't work. My kids, one of their favorite things to say is, man, that's not fair. That's not fair. And you know, we always tell them, the fair comes around once a year and today ain't it. But it's true. Fair is not the thing here. We have problems forgiving people because we want to say it's not fair. Well, no, it's not fair. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Another reason that we have problems forgiving, and this is a huge one, especially with major offenses that happen to us, like, again, things like abuse and things like that, is that we don't think we physically can forgive someone because it just hurts too much. It's too much of an issue deep down inside. We've let it get too many roots inside of who we are. That person hurt us so bad. You had a spouse walk out on you. You had a dad that abused you. You had someone tell you that you're not good enough, and it stuck with you your whole life. And you just can't do it. You know what Philippians 4:13 says? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, you can't do it. But He can. He can. That's why we've got to learn to rely on Him. And I'm kind of motoring through this. Last night, my wife and I, we watched this movie. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys have seen it. I'm kind of late to the party on this one. It was the second Hobbit movie. And I don't know what your feelings on the Hobbit are, but I'm a big Lord of the Rings, J.R. Tolkien guy. I like that stuff. And so we watched the second Hobbit movie. And there's this point that one of the dwarves, they're trying to get away through through this river, right? And he gets shot in the leg with an arrow. Well, I mean, it's in the leg, so it's not, I mean, it's a big deal, but it's not like, you know, a mortal wound or anything. So he gets away, and then you find out later on that the arrow is basically poison. And the guy that shot him tells another guy, yeah, you just think he's okay. But that poison is slowly taking over his bloodstream. And it's slowly going to get to his heart. And eventually he's going to die from that one little wound. And they mend his leg and they bind the wound and all that kind of stuff. And throughout the movie, probably for the next hour and a half, you see this guy start getting worse and worse and worse until the point where he's, you know, at the point of death. And, they finally save him or whatever. But at the end of the day, that's what unforgiveness is like. Unforgiveness is an arrow that's dipped in poison. The offense hurts in the moment. But just like that dwarf, he started going throughout his life, And that little thing in his leg started to fester. And it started to get worse. And it started to bring him down and make him less effective and all this stuff. And that's the same thing that happens with us when we allow unforgiveness to continually take root in our heart. Having unforgiveness in your heart is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. It's stupid. It doesn't work. Peter asked Jesus in Matthew 18, says, how often should I forgive someone? And he said, what, seven times? And you got to understand, back then, it was like, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Wait, is that right? Yeah, no. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Okay, you know what I'm saying? So like, forgiving somebody more than once was just out of the question. So when Peter said, seven times, Lord, he felt like he was being over and abundant forgiving. And yet Jesus says, no, 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 no. 70 times seven. 490 times. And that's not like a set in stone number. Like, you know, Corinthians tells us, you know, love keeps no record of wrongs. So therefore, you're not supposed to go, all right, Jack, that's 481. I'm watching you. 82. You got one more. You know what I mean? That's not what it's about. 490 times. The lesson we get out of that is when we think we've forgiven as much as we can, Jesus wants us to forgive over and over and over. Why? Because he's forgiven you over and over and over and over. That brings us to this. When Peter asked that question, it spurred a story that Jesus told that we can find in Matthew chapter 18. And it goes like this. Let me read it to you. It's chapter 18, verses, let's start in 23. Jesus says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I'll pay it all. And his master was filled with pity for him and released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king... Now, before we get to that, now the New Living Translation, which is what I'm reading out of, says a man that owed millions of dollars. Now, if you do the breakdown of what a talent was in the King James, it talks about 10,000 talents. They owed 10,000 talents. If you break that down to today's currency, there are some estimations that would equal out today to being over $5 billion with a B dollars. Over $5 billion. Now, I'm not saying that's not an exact number. I'm just telling you what some of the estimations are as to what that would be today. So you understand how big this guy's debt was to the king. Verse 28, but when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. This guy's an idiot. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Please be patient with me, and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put into prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. Well, duh, they knew what had just happened, what the king had done to this guy. So they went into the king and told him everything that had happened. And the king called in the man that he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servants just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. You need to understand, we forgive because we were forgiven. You owed a debt you couldn't pay. You owed a debt that was well over any monetary price that could be put on it. Because you were born into this life in sin. Jesus Christ paid with his life what you owed. He forgave you. You got to understand, God made the first move towards forgiveness for us by sending Jesus. According to Romans 5:8, it says, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Before we even asked for forgiveness, he sent Jesus to die for us. We got to follow the example that Christ set forth. Ephesians 4:32 through 5:2 says, "Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you're his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." You've been forgiven much, therefore, you forgive much. Because he forgave you every time you needed it, because he forgave you whenever the case called for it, he requires us to forgive those that wrong us. Do you understand that? God called you to forgive. Again, it's such a simple command, yet such a difficult one to carry out. So the question we have is, how then do we forgive other people? And this kind of brings you to your notes that we have for you today in your worship guide. And this comes out of Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. It says, "But you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who hurt you." So you want to know how to forgive? It's all encompassed in that one verse. The first thing you got to do is you got to pray for people that have offended you. And that is a difficult, difficult thing to do. Matthew 5, 43 to 44 says, "You've heard the law that says this, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." There's multiple points in the word where we are told to pray for those that have hurt us. It's hard to pray for someone, to pray good things for someone when they've hurt you. And that's where we kind of all have this little jacked up thing, right? Like, oh, you want me to pray for him? I'll pray for him. I don't mean like this. You guys watch this. Watch this. "I'm really glad I found my way to church, 'cause I'm already feeling better and I thank God for the words. Yeah, I'm gonna take the high road and do what the preacher told me. You keep messing up, and I'll keep praying for you." "Pray your brakes go out running down a hill. Pray a flower pot falls from a windowsill and knocks you in the head like I'd like to. That's not what we mean by pray for your enemies, okay? Don't do that. We have to learn to pray for people that hurt us. If you want to know what it means to get over something, if you want to know what it means to forgive, if you want to know how to forgive, the first step on that road is saying, "God, I pray for that person. I pray that you would show them where they're wrong in their life. I pray that you'll show them what's going on that they need your help in. I pray that you would give them something so that they can understand how much they're in need of your love." It's a very humbling thing when you learn to pray for your enemies. Second thing is this: we've got to learn to bless those people that have offended us. That's difficult. Difficult. Find something where you can say, "God, I just pray blessings on them. I pray that you would make their bank account explode with finances. I pray that you would make their kids have good grades in every subject. I pray that you would let them get promotions at work. I pray that you would bless them with a new car. That is not what you want to pray for somebody that's hurt you. You want to pray, God, I pray that you would drain every cent in their bank account and put it in mine. God, I pray. That's what you want to pray, right? You've got to learn to bless them. The last thing is you've got to learn to do good to people who offended you. Take it a step further. Don't go tell them, look, hey, I forgive you for what you did to me, you dirty dog. I forgive you. Don't do that. Just go tell them. Go tell them something. Do something awesome. Give them a coffee from Starbucks. Take them something nice. Do something good for them. And it will change your insides, the way you feel about that person. It's hard to get past offenses in your life. There's things right now that I want you we're not completely done right now, but I want you just to close your eyes for a second. I want everybody to close your eyes. And I want you to think, don't raise your hand, but I want you to think, who in my life do I have unforgiveness towards? Who has hurt me to the point that when I hear their name, or when they walk by me, when something gets said about that person, that causes a catch in my spirit, it causes me to cringe. I want you to think about that for just a second. Okay, open your eyes. I venture to say that a lot of you had a name come across your mind. Maybe not everybody, but I venture to say that there's some of you guys that were like, yep, there's that name again. It's on SportsCenter all the time. Mama, there goes that man again. That's kind of how you feel. You know, you're like, every time I think I'm past it, that name comes back. That's a sign that there's something there you need to let go of. My wife has a relative that just some things were there that were not good. Let's just put it that way. And because of that, it caused me a lot of issues towards this person, because this person hurt my wife. Nobody hurts my wife, right, fellas? Right? Nobody hurts my wife. And because of that, it caused me a lot of issues. And the funny thing is I didn't even realize there was unforgiveness there until this point in the life small group. And when we started talking about these feelings started coming up inside me, and I started going, man, there's so much angst and hostility towards this person. And God had to do something inside of me to take it out. And it was a scary moment to realize that Satan had hid something from me so deeply that I didn't even realize that it was there. And when God started reaching down inside my life and pulling it to the surface, it was a scary moment for me, because I didn't realize how big of a deal it was. And I think there's some of you guys right now that are going through that same thing. But let me tell you something. The one thing about forgiving people that if you don't get, then nothing else is going to work. One thing is this: you can't forgive others until you accept forgiveness for yourself. Get that. You can't forgive others, fully forgive someone else, until you've accepted forgiveness for yourself. Now you need to understand, what I didn't say is until you forgive yourself. Because you need to understand something. We can't forgive ourselves. We need to understand this one thing. We have to stop trying to earn forgiveness. Stop trying to earn forgiveness. Because there's nothing you can do that's going to make you good enough to be forgiven. There's nothing you can do that's going to make you deserve forgiveness from God for the things in your past, or the things you've done to other people. There's nothing in your life, and there's nothing that you can do to physically earn forgiveness. There's not. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, God saved you by his grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. You can't do anything to earn God's forgiveness. The second thing is this. You've got to learn to defeat every lie with the truth. Do you understand that the Bible calls Satan the father of lies? When he lies, he's speaking his native language. That's who he is. He's a liar. But see, the problem is he will lace truth with lie just enough to make you start doubting yourself and doubting who you are and your calling and who you are meant to be in Jesus Christ. Well, the point, he's going to start making you try to relive past moments and relive past hurts and all the things that messed you up. Even when you've accepted forgiveness, he's going to lie to you and tell you, you're not forgiven. You're not forgiven. But look at what you did. Look how awful you are. Look at the mistake you made yesterday. You're not forgiven. We've got to learn to defeat every lie with the truth. What is the truth? 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. You want to fight a lie? You pull out Corinthians 1:30 and say, no. Jesus forgave me. Jesus justified me, and I accept his forgiveness. And the last thing is this. You got to allow God to turn it around for good. Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. We have to learn to let him turn it around for good. What do you mean by that? What I mean is, you're going to go through stuff. You're going to deal with things. You're going to deal with offenses in your life. People are going to hurt you. You're going to deal with struggles. What you have to learn to do is allow God to take those struggles and change it into something you can use to help other people. I don't mean like, you know, you got abused last night and now the next day you're out there having conferences about it. I don't mean that. It's going to take you a while to get to the point where God turns things around to where he can use it for your good. Can I say one thing? I need you to hear me. God's will was never for you to be hurt. You need to hear that. God's will was not for you to be hurt. God's will was never for you to be abused. God's will was never for you to be used. God's will was never for you to be taken advantage of. God's will was never for you to have offenses that happened against you that almost killed you. Spiritually, emotional, physically, whatever. That was never his will. But what his will is to take those experiences that you lived through and to make them where they don't hurt as much anymore and to where he can use those through you to help other people. If you'll let him. Last thing I'm going to say is this. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. And it's a daily choice. The choice you're going to have to make every single day. Because remember, the forgiven, forgive. The forgiven, forgive. Bow your heads with me.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.